Let's get back to some of the telltale signs then, Marshall. As we approach what you believe to be a 2012 deadline, give or take, I want you to tell us what we can expect in terms of some of these events that will be affecting this planet as this so-called object comes by.
Okay, first let's talk about, the first issue everybody wants to know is when. What I can tell you is that the government, they could be seeing it right now for all we know.
Okay, I don't believe that, because
I don't believe it.
I think astronomers, amateur astronomers, would have pointed it out to us. So I don't think they've seen it yet. That's my guess.
My guess, and I'm the same way. My feeling is they'll get about anywhere from a 12 to 18 month lead time on it. We've done a lot of the people that are, looking at Nibiru, and they're giving it a velocity that it's going too fast for an orbit. It would, it would be a rogue object, just fly right through the solar system.
Could it be a comet?
It could be anything. It is a captive. In other words, if we're saying that the basic premise of this thing is that it's something that's in an orbit and it's coming around, it's a comet, it's an asteroid. When we developed three basic scenarios when we looked at this.
And what were they? What are they?
And the first one is what I call a benign flyby. And a benign flyby is it never really comes close enough to the Earth
to cause any
anomalies, cause any problems. And, this is something Sitchin said the ancients did at one time, used to welcome it as a harbinger of good things.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So let's say that's one option. It comes back as a harbinger of good things. There's another option where it comes close enough to the Earth to cause a series of regional catastrophes. And I call this the individual initiative.
And what kind of catastrophes might they be?
Quakes, tsunamis. If you're talking earthquakes, say 8, 9.
Richters.
Richters. Right. You're talking San Andreas, Ring of Fire, volcanism, weird weather patterns. A lot of hectic stuff. Not enough to knock civilization on its knees.
Right. Just enough to cause a few problems.
Right. Well, a lot of problems. But, in other words, we'll still be able to function.
All right.
We'll be able to, hobble ourselves together. It'll be a wartime footing.
All right. That's possibility number two.
And then in the book that I wrote, God's Child Covenant, Return of Nibiru, that's the scenario I chose for that book.
You're being nice to us.
Yes.
Or easy on us.
You don't want scenario three.
Which is?
I call that scenario three is survival of the species. I mean, to me, if it's an extinction level event, why talk about it? No one's going to be around to appreciate the conversation.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe. Maybe not. But in the third scenario, what we really said is, okay, let's define a worst case. And to kind of help your listeners visualize this, let's think in terms of Nibiru, Earth, and the Moon. And think about first the distance from the Earth to the Moon. Multiply that by 17 and say that this is the closest that Nibiru is going to come as it comes around the Sun to the Earth. Now, at that distance, if Nibiru is behaving like an asteroid, then it is going to be as big and as bright in the sky as our moon. If, on the other hand, Nibiru is acting like a comet, it has a coma and a tail, it is going to be as big and as bright as our sun.
Which is huge.
That's right. Now, that's just the visual part of it. Now let's talk about tidal gravitational forces. Now, again, I said I live near the sea and I'm used to high tide, low tide. All right?
This is no high tide like you've ever seen before, I guess.
That's right. It's the mother of all high tides. Because keep this in mind. If the moon were to disappear tomorrow, the entire surface of the Earth would collapse about 18 inches.
Just get sunk right in.
We would just, that's it, sink right in, and just imagine the fun we'd have with that. On the other hand, here you have Nibiru, it's conservatively, let's say it's four times the size of the Earth. This is going to be massive. And so what we'll have is we're going to have magnitudes 8 and 9 quakes rippling around the globe like a wiggling jello mold. We're going to have, as the oceans that are facing Nibiru, we're talking about, are going to have 100-meter swells, tsunamis, floods. The devastation is going to be so extensive that we're looking at a situation where it's not even going to be a matter of, if you built a bunker.
Is this
your dumb luck if you survive?
Is this extinction type?
In this particular scenario, it's near extinction. There's enough of us left to repopulate the species.
How did you come up, though, with the 2012 tie-in to the Mayan calendar, this Nibiru?
There was a couple of things. First off, we were looking at the Mayan calendar and we're saying, if this is going to come through, it will be spotted by NASA years in advance. Not that we'll know.
Not that they'll tell us.
You're right.
We already know that the consultant for the RAND Corporation has told us if there's going to be a cataclysmic event, they're not going to tell us about it, according to him, his opinion.
Right, because what happens if everybody takes unpaid time off of work to go out and build bunkers in the backyard? No more tax revenue.
Panic time.
That's right. Government's losing control, so that's it.
We'll have coast to coast, but the rest will be panic time.
That's right. Well, I look at it this way. There's a lot of people who just, the mainstream, the majority out there, just like keeping their head in the sand, and if things go wrong, God forbid that they should, they'll get buried in that sand.
Okay, but why that date? Why 2012? What did you see that made you pick that date and tie it into Nibiru?
Two things. One was actually something we had seen. This is in the Father Malachi Martin in 97.
Uh-huh.
And when he said in 97, there's something coming our way could be important in the next 5 to 10 years.
Okay.
All right, so we took a look at that window of time, and that window of time is between 2003 and 2008.
Could be a comet. Could be what they call wormwood. Who knows?
Could be Roman, whatever. Then I look at the NASA launch schedule, and in 2006, they're going to be launching two new deep space vehicles.
Oh, what's so unusual about that?
One is called Dawn. It's designed to orbit the two largest asteroids in our solar system. The other one is Kepler. It's a space-borne telescope. Now, if you've got a huge mothering planet entering your system, what do you want to send out there to go take a look at it?
Those kinds of satellites?
Bingo. And if you're looking at launching in 2006, and they're saying it's 10 years before it's going to get out to the Kuiper Belt, I'm splitting the difference and saying halfway there, they're going to find this thing.
Hmm.
And so those three things really drew us to saying 2012.
Okay, and obviously 2012 is a very fascinating year because of what the Mayans may or may not have known.
Well, what we do know about the Mayans is that they were excellent with astronomy and calendars.
But, I've always wondered, how could a technology and a civilization, unless they had something that we didn't know about, how could they do this? How could they figure this stuff out?
That's right. And, when I talked to some of the people who do research on this, and they really actually, to my surprise, they get offended when you say it's the end of the Mayan calendar. They say it's the end of a cycle.
Yes, most people say that who understand the Mayan calendar.
That's right. And so that was really, that's the end of a cycle. So they have got this thing timed out. There is a major cycle here. So it's, do I have some way of mystically beaming myself out into the Oort cloud? No. But if we're looking at a civilization that had an understanding of calendars, astronomy, that frankly just make us look, like troglodytes.
Maybe somebody told them something, Marshall. Maybe somebody pointed something out to them and went, this is the way it's going to be. It's possible.
I think it is. I think we all have to come at this with an open mind. You know, even when, you know, keep in mind, let's say we knew exactly when Nibiru was going to come.
All right.
And here's the reason why. This whole 2003 red herring really just annoys the dickens out of me.